Welcome to Willard Church of the Nazarene. We're glad you're here. We can't wait to share the service with you.
To your arms, unashamed because joy, every fear suddenly wiped away. Here in your presence, worthy is your name.
All right, Jonah, chapter 2, if you turn there in your Bibles. Jonah, we know, was a prophet, a preacher. He had a relationship with God. He had faith. He had a good understanding of who God was. And he was just fine living his life in that place. But then God came to him, right? He came and called him to go to Nineveh. Jonah got called to a new ministry assignment, a ministry assignment he didn't want to go. You ever been called by God to go someplace you didn't want to go? An assignment he didn't have a deep enough faith. He didn't have enough grace to even go to. He didn't like these people. You ever been called to go to somebody you don't like? He was called to go to his enemies to help them experience God's grace. And he's like, heck no, we are not going there. And so he bailed and he ran from the call. Jonah, prophet. Does that just encourage anybody? Right here, like I said, this is a guy who knew God. This is a guy who was following God. And yet he did the same thing that we do. I just feel better about myself reading about Jonah. And I hope you do too. Here's the thing. Jonah needed to grow. Isn't that true of all of us? Right? We all have room to grow in God's grace. Ain't nobody there yet. Not that I know of. His spiritual level was good for the place he was currently serving at. But then God called him to go to a new place, called him to go to that next level. And some things had to change in his life so that he could end up going there. We all have these times in our lives. We all do. Sometimes, you know, you can be growing in your faith and then you hit a plateau and you just level off or you start going back down. And then God calls you to something, right? And in order to get to that place, though, you're going to have to grow in your faith. You're going to have to go deeper. You're going to have to grow in grace. And I pray that happens to every one of us. God loves to call you to a place that you can't go on your own, under your strength, so that you have to depend on him in faith. Jonah, chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, if you'd stand in honor of God's word. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the current swirled around me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, 'I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple.' The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountain I sat down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit." Maybe that's a good place to say amen. "When my life was ebbing away, I remember you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them, but I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, 'Salvation comes from the Lord.' And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land." Father, we thank you for your word. We do praise you, Lord. Lord, would you just speak to us today through it? Would you soften our hearts so that we can receive it? Would you open our eyes and our ears so that we don't miss it? Lord, would you convict us of what needs to be convicted of? Would you encourage us in what needs to be encouraged, Lord? Would you show us the path that you have for us today? Lord, I pray that this would speak mightily to each and every one of us. Lord, it is in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So we ended week 1, which was 2 weeks ago. Jonah is swallowed by a fish. And week two this week, this is his prayer from inside that great fish. This fish is what God provided. Sometimes we're in seasons of our life and God provides a fish, and honestly, that's not what we want, right? Lord, send me a raft. Lord, give me a life preserver. Give me a life jacket. Give me something to cling to. Give me an island to swim to. Anything, right, other than this fish. Jonah got a fish to swallow him. If you're in the middle of the ocean and you're swallowed by a fish, this doesn't seem like a praise report, right? This feels like punishment. Think about it, where he's making this prayer from. Are there stomach juices going on? Is it acidic in there? What's it smell like? You know it can't smell good. Fish don't smell good normally. How much pressure is on him? Is there even a whole lot of air to breathe in this situation? I wonder how many of us today, maybe we're in a place like this and we're wondering, why did you send a fish, God? Why did you let this happen to me? Why in the world am I going through this? In these moments, it's tempting to think that it's just punishment from God, and I hope you don't see God that way, because I spent a good amount of time viewing him in that regard. To Jonah, he doesn't know how this is going to turn out. This could be the end for him. He hasn't read the end of the story. We know it, right? But he doesn't. This might seem like the end to him. This might seem like punishment. But what he needs to realize and what we need to always remember is who provided the fish? Who provided it? It's the main person in the story, like we talked about 2 weeks ago. God provided it. And if he provided it, there must be a good reason for it. Not every storm or fish is from God. Some things are just a time where we reap what we sow. Some things are just a result of a broken world, right? But even in those moments, we've got to remember to turn and trust God. Romans 8:28, you made mention of this. And we know that in all things, good things, bad things, right? In all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purposes. This isn't for everybody. This is for those who love him, right? But in all things, God is working that for your good. That's an amazing verse. Today, you might find yourself in the smelliest, foulest, pressure-filled time in your life. But have faith that God is working in that situation and he can turn it for your good. God provided Jonah a fish to turn him around. He was headed away from God. He was headed in the wrong direction, right? And God provided a fish. I don't know what you're going through. I'm sure some of us are in a place where we don't want to be, though, today. I'm sure some of us are headed in a direction we shouldn't be going today. Maybe everything is just a mess. But I just want to remind you, God doesn't always give us what we want. He gives us what we need, right? We can trust him in that. Do you know what we all need? We all need him, bottom line. And that's what Jonah got, right? Jonah 2, 1 through 2, from inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry." You been there? I have. At this point, there's nothing that Jonah could do, right, to save his life. He's sinking. He's going down. His position, his title, his degree, nothing could save him. Whatever went in his bank account, that couldn't help him, right? Jonah got to the place where maybe some of us are at right now, and that is to a place that only the Lord can help us. He was helpless, but praise God, he wasn't hopeless, right? Notice it was in his distress. Notice it was because of his distress that brought him back to the only one that could save him. That's what the storms have done time and time again in my life. Some of you, unfortunately, right now might be in a place where you are like, if God doesn't do something right now, I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe it's something going on in your marriage. Maybe it's something financially. Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's a wayward kid. It might be something that's your fault, or it might be something that's not. Well, my friends, the Bible has an answer for you if that's the season that you find yourself in. The Bible has a light for your path. The Bible has a direction for you to take. And I just want to read James 5:13 because it gives you the answer. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone in trouble? Let them pray. I want to declare that to you. That if you're in a time of trouble, distress, it is a time to pray. Notice what the scripture doesn't say. Notice what James doesn't say when you're in trouble. It's not time to worry, right? He doesn't say it's time to complain. He doesn't say it's time to blame everybody else. He doesn't say it's time to do something you shouldn't be doing, right? He says, when you're in trouble, it's time to pray. And that's exactly what Jonah did. He prayed, Jonah 2:2, in my distress, I called to the Lord. And what did God do? He answered me. How bad was it? From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help. Are you deep in the realm of the dead? Are you hopeless? Helpless? Just feel that way in that season that you're in right now? And you listened to my cry. That's the God of the universe. He hears you. He hears you when you're in the pit, right? That's a bad place he's in. My friends, it's time to pray. Verse 3, you hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the sea, and the current swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. Hey, everything is going to heck for this guy. Everything is breaking apart. Everything's chaos in his life. It's not getting better, right? It's time to pray. The engulfing waters threatened me. To the roots of the mountain I sank down. It's getting worse, right? But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. Amen. Well, James, I get into these situations and I pray and it doesn't seem to help, right? I've been there. I've said that. Lord, are you listening to me? Right? It doesn't seem like it's getting any better. Well, how are you praying? What are you praying? What can we learn from Jonah's prayer? You ever feel like you ain't good at praying? Do you know what one of the most effective ways or the most effective secrets to improve your prayer life is? It's to know the Word of God. You want to improve your prayer life? Know the Word of God. Why? So that you can pray the Word of God. That is all Jonah's prayer. It's just him declaring the word of God over the situations in his life. Hebrews 4:12 says this, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword." Isaiah 55:11 says, "My word," this is God speaking, "that goes out from my mouth, it will not return to me empty." Man, this is a pro tip, right? If you struggle in prayer, this is a pro tip. The prayer that God answers is the prayer that is in line with his will. And what better way to be in line with his will than to pray the word of God over your situation, right? Do you think he's going to answer your prayers if you're asking for something that's not in line with that? Would you as a parent? Right? No way. No, this is powerful to pray his word. But here's the question. Do you know it? Do you know it? Are you in it? Are you in it every day? You got to know it. You got to be in it if you're going to pray it, right? Jonah knew it. In this prayer that he's prays, he's just praying the Psalms. That's all he's doing. And I want to show you this because this could revolutionize your prayer life, right? I talk to people all the time, and constantly people say, I just don't pray because I don't know what to pray. Like if you were to say, hey, you got to pray for an hour, you would be like, oh, wow, no way, right? That does not sound good to me, right? But one, I said it already, you don't have to say anything. You can just let God speak to you. You can just ask God to speak to you for an hour. I wonder if we don't hear from God because we don't give him an opportunity to speak to us, right? Like, are you willing to wait for any amount of time to hear from God? Or is it like, Lord, you pray it, and then you're done. You're done with the conversation, and you're out, right? What if we waited? What if we waited for an hour for him to speak to us? Don't know what to pray? Read his word and pray it over your life, right? If you pray his word, those are prayers that will align with his will. He will answer those prayers. He answers every prayer. It's yes, no, not right now, right? But more often, the ones he answers yes are the ones that are aligned to his will. John 14:13 says this, "And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Here is a passage of scripture that is just misinterpreted, right? People think that if I say in Jesus' name in my prayer, those are magic words. And if I say those words, God's going to answer my prayer. And whatever you ask in my name, right? In Jesus' name, I ask for this. But that's not it. In Jesus' name, right, means our requests are aligned to his will. Our requests are in his authority, right? That request has to be in line with who Jesus is. Why? So that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Is my prayer for $1 million going to glorify God? Is it going to be in his will? What does Jesus say about money? What does Jesus say about rich people? Right? Some careful things to be in there. Is my prayer for healing going to glorify God? We would say yes, right? Wouldn't that be praise? Maybe. But what if I'm living with that thing and I have the peace of God and everybody sees that? Will that glorify him? Absolutely, right? People can find a way to explain away the miracles. Oh, that wasn't God, that was just something that happened to you, right? Doctors did that, or your body did that, or whatever it is. They can explain that away. But when they see you in the storms, trusting in him, and you have a peace that goes beyond anything, and you're handling it, and your face is glowing, right, because you're spending time in the presence of God, they can't explain that. That's what brings him glory, right? Jonah praised the word of God. He praised multiple psalms. Psalm 3:4, I call out to the Lord and he answers me. That's Jonah 2:2. Psalm 16:10, you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. Also Jonah 2:2. Psalm 18:4-6, the cords of death entangle me. The torrents of destruction overwhelm me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. Sound familiar? That's Jonah 2:2 and 3 and verse 7. His prayer was the word of God. My friends, whenever you're in trouble, it's time to pray. And whenever you don't know what to pray, pray his word. Well, I don't know what to pray in his word. That sounds like a pretty great reason to be in it more, right? Also, every Bible that I know of has an index where you can look up subjects in the back. I also bet that you know some people that you might be able to contact for some advice on what scriptures speak to those things. I have a cheat sheet in my Bible. A lot of prayers for different topics in there. That's why I like a hard Bible instead of a digital Bible. I can't figure out how to do notes in digital Bibles. My hard Bible, though, that's what I take with me. Right? Get a cheat sheet. Right? I went through a season of anxiety just this week. Man, it hit again. And I'm anxious and I'm dreading some things, right? And I remember Brian's favorite verse, 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your anxiety on him, right? Why? Because he cares for me, right? Lord, I'm giving you this feeling of anxiety and dread, Lord, and I remember that you care for me. Thank you, Lord. I praise you for that. Anyone struggling with anxiety in here? Here's another verse for you, Philippians 4:4-7, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do you need to know that? I don't always feel that, but the word of God says that. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen? That's a prayer to pray. Want that peace? It's time to pray. Maybe a friend comes up to you, man, I got this situation going on and I don't know what to do. Well, I know what to do. It's time to pray, right? James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. It will be given to you. Lord, would you give my friend wisdom? We're asking for it in your name, right? According to your will, according to what your word says. And Father, we're just going to praise you in advance because we know that you will give it to us because that's what your word says. Amen. Right? Amen. I love that when Jonah prayed, he said, God heard me. My friend, God hears you. Well, I don't know if he does hear me because he doesn't seem to answer my prayers. Nothing happens. Nothing happened for Jonah, too, for a few days, right? The whole chapter, he's praying. That's 3 days going by. Day goes by, right? He was heard, but the timing wasn't right. Joseph prayed as a slave. Joseph prayed in jail. He spent over 10 years in those places, right? God heard him and was with him, but he had a whole different time frame than Joseph had. God has a whole different time frame than I often have too. Jonah, he didn't see the miracle until verse 10. And not seeing the miracle till verse 10 makes verse 9 super meaningful, right? Jonah 2:9. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord. Wow. Wow. Where is Jonah at when he says that? He's still in the fish. He doesn't know if he's going to make it, right? This could be the end for him, but he chooses to do something. He chooses to praise God in the mess, despite the miracle. It's easy to praise God after the miracle, but it takes a whole lot of faith to praise God before the miracle. Are you in the belly right now? Are you stuck right in the mess and you don't know what's going to happen? You don't see a way out, right? It's time to pray. And it's time to praise. Right now? Yes, right now. Some of you know this story. I haven't told it in a long time, and I just love telling this story because it's a way that just God worked and did something in my life. I was driving to work at Taco Bell. I was driving to the Ashland store, and I fell asleep on the way there. And that was a problem that I had. I used to fall asleep all the time while I was driving. And I woke up, and there right in front of me was an Amish buggy. And I slammed on the brakes, I swerved, and I nailed it. I finally got stopped up ahead. I came out. Two guys in the buggy were on their feet. They're chasing after the horse, right? They're just concerned about the horse. And then I look back and I see a young kid on the ground. And I went up to that young kid, and he was just going into convulsions, foaming at the mouth. And I prayed, right? What are you going to do? I ran towards one of the houses that were right there. It was out in the country. A person must have heard the crash. They came out. And I said, call 911, right? And I just went there, and all I could do was pray. It seemed like it took forever for that ambulance to get there. Finally did, and the ambulance took that kid away. I think he was life-flighted to one of the major hospitals. The police said, sit in your vehicle. We'll get to you. They were processing the scene and everything like that. And I'm sitting there and I'm just praying. And the voice of God came to me and said, I want you to praise me in this. I'm like, I will never praise you for this. Why would I praise you for this, right? And he said, praise me in this. Reluctantly, I did. I said, I don't know why, but I give you praise, even for this, right? And that's what I did. I went home that night. I got with my mom because she's the best prayer that I know. And it went out on the prayer chain. People in this church were praying for me. People from all over the world on another prayer chain were praying about this. I remember being alone at night. And I remember that feeling of dread and helplessness and everything. And I remember just praying and praying and praying. And then all of a sudden, late that night, the peace of God came over me. Blew me away. Knocked me down, right? And I was able to go to bed. And I went to sleep. I got up early in the morning. I'm praying. And I have a peace, though, about it. And it wasn't a peace that, like, I knew everything was going to work out. It was a peace that I knew God was there with me. And I said, if I go to jail, I know you'll be there with me. That was the peace, right? No matter what happens, there's a reason behind this. I know you'll work in this situation, and maybe you'll use me in that jail. You know, whatever it is, though, I know you're going to be with me. Well, I found out where that kid was taken. I called the hospital, and I said, got a hold of the floor that he was on, and I talked to the nurse, and I said, hey, I'm just calling to see if you can tell me anything about that kid that was in that auto accident and brought in. And that nurse was like, are you part of the family? And I said, no. And she goes, oh, I'm sorry. I can't tell you anything. And I said, I'm the one who hit him. And there was a pause. She said, I shouldn't tell you this, but I'm going to. And she said, that kid in the middle of the night did a full 180, came out of everything. The doctors have no clue what happened, but we're going to release him today. Right? Not all my testimonies have a happy ending like that, but all my testimonies have a God who stands with me, have a God who's there for me in those seasons, has a God who's with me working in those situations for my good. Are you in trouble? Pray. It's time to pray. It's time to praise him because what? Not he might turn it out the way you want it to. Praise him because he hears you. Praise him because he's with you. Praise him because he's working in those situations for your good. Notice the end of verse 9. What I have vowed, I will make good. How would you apply that if this is part of your Bible reading? Jonah was running. He was disobeying. He wasn't listening, but he makes a sharp turn. What I vowed, I will make good. Is this for somebody in here? Are you in a mess of your own making? My friends, no excuses. No blaming other people. Sorry. Maybe you're doing something that you shouldn't be doing. What I vowed, I will make good. Do you need to do that? Quit lying. Own it. Own up to whatever you did. Drop that thing. If you're picking something up, right? If you're being disobedient, stop it. If you are not doing something that God is calling you to do, like Jonah, do it. Follow through with the vow that you made. What I vowed, I will make good. Are you honoring God's word? This might limit the effectiveness of your prayer. James 5:16, the prayers of a righteous person is powerful and effective. What's a righteous person? A righteous person is not somebody who never messes up, who always does what God wants him to do. It is a person, though, in a right relationship with God. That's a righteous person. A person that is in God's will. Is that you? Jonah realigned to God's will in a moment. Did you see how fast it happened? Right? You can choose to realign. You can choose to repent in a minute. And turn back to him and be back in that righteousness, right? But you have to repent. You have to turn. What I vowed, I will make good. And notice what happens after that. Verse 10. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry ground. Can we just pause 1 minute and realize two things, right? Number one, that's amazing. Number two, that's gross, right? I mean, this guy has been in the belly of a fish for 3 days. He was vomited out. For 3 days, he was praying, and God was working. God was moving that fish to where he just needed to be, right, in order to be vomited out in the right place at just the right time. James, this is a mess. Can I really praise him? In that mess. 3 days, 3 nights in a stomach. 3 days, 3 nights. I know that you know what that alludes to, right? I know that you know what the significance of that 3 days and 3 nights in the belly is all about, right? This is 700 to 800 years before Jesus Christ, but it foreshadows him, right? Matthew 12, Beginning at verse 38, then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." He answered, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." After Jesus becomes sin for us and dies on a cross for us, he's buried, right? Spends 3 days and three nights with a stone over that tomb, right? God raises him from the dead. Sin and death is defeated. You remember what Jonah said? Where does salvation come from? Salvation comes from the Lord. Salvation came to Jonah when he didn't deserve it. Salvation came when he had been running from God. God turned him around and saved him. When Jonah couldn't save himself, God saved him. When we didn't deserve it, Christ died for us and saved us. Yeah, you can praise him, right? Yeah, you can trust him even in the mess. You might be running now. You might be cleaning up vomit off your feet every morning. It might be all over you. There might be nothing clean about you. But my friends, there is nothing clean about the cross. It was a bloody mess. But God was working. God was making a way for dirty, disgusting, messy people like me and you to find salvation. Salvation comes from the Lord, my friends. Cling to it. Grab on it. Never let it go, no matter what you've done. Would you stand with me? My friends, God has grace for you, and God still wants to use you. His grace is bigger than you can imagine, bigger than you can fathom. His love is deeper than you even realize. A good God like that is a God that we want to serve. If your life is messy right now, welcome to the church. You're the perfect kind of person that God wants to save and use. Amen? Would you bow your heads with me? If there's anybody here right now and you're in the mess and you've been running, you've been disobedient, and you just want to make a vow right now, what I vowed, I will follow. Maybe you want to just turn your life over to Christ. Maybe you just want to put your faith in him, the one who died for you, the one who died for your sins, so that you can have a relationship with him. If that's you, and you want to turn back, or you want to turn to him, would you just raise your hand and let me know that you want to surrender your life to him right now? I see you, brother. I see you, sister, brother. Anybody else? I see you. I see you. Pray this prayer with me if you haven't done it before. Father, I know I'm a sinner. I know there is nothing good about me, but thank God, I believe that you died on a cross for me. And Father, I'm just asking that you would save me. Save me from myself. Father, I just want to turn to you and put my trust and my faith in you, Lord. Lord, I give you praise. I give you all honor for what you've done, because I know it's nothing I could do. Salvation is only from you. I have nothing to offer you but filthy rags. Nothing. Thank you, Lord, though. I trust in you. I trust you to save me. I trust you to wash me clean. I love you. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, you're not going to be perfect from here on out. You're going to have struggles. You're going to have times, right? But here's what I'll promise you. If you fall, fall towards the cross, right? It ain't you. It ain't your power. It ain't what you do. It's all about your faith in the one who died for you, right? And so when I fall down, I'm going to fall towards the cross. I'm going to cling to it. I'm going to grab onto it, right? I'm going to hold it with everything that I got because I know the closer I grow to him, the more I realize what a sinner I am. But I also know 100% that that was enough to save me, no matter what. What he did for me was enough. I can't do anything to make it not enough because he died for all the sins of the world. And so I'm going to rest in that. I'm going to live out of that, right? I'm going to tell other people about that. That's good news. Amen? Amen. Listen, if you made that decision, you need a church family. You need brothers and sisters who will walk with you on this road because some people have been walking right where you're at. Right where you're at now, and they can help you, show you the way. Christ came down into the pit of this earth, right? And made a way for us to get out of it. And he pulls us out of it, right? And then we get to pull other people and help other people out of it too. What a privilege that we have. It's messy. It's messy. It's smelly. It's ugly. But praise God, right? Praise God for his salvation. Salvation comes from the Lord. Amen? Amen. You are dismissed.